Etsy.com.
Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Today we're going to open up the phone lines and just take phone calls about the items in the news, and we'll see where the conversation heads. I've got some things I want to throw out, but if you've got something that you want to bring up, you can call us at 813-238-8001. Also, our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Lots in the news, as you know, and we heard a pretty good list of news stories there from National Public Radio. The latest on the hurricane is that it's hitting the Outer Banks in North Carolina right now, causing some damage. In the Bahamas, the official death toll stands at 30, but it is expected to go up even higher. Officials are sending morticians and body bags to the Abaco Islands, the worst hit part of the archipelago. Officials say hundreds, possibly thousands of people are still missing in the Abacos and Grand Bahamas. Yesterday, the health minister of the country, Dwayne Sands, warned of a staggering final death count. He told local radio the public needs to prepare for unimaginable information about the death toll and the human suffering. Earlier today, the BBC spoke with two Bahamians who survived the storm.
It's just total devastation. There's nothing left in most of Marsh Harbor. No homes, no banks, no gas stations, no hardware stores. It's just total, everything's gone. People are starting to panic, pillaging, looting, trying to shoot people for food and water. It's just no way everyone's going to get out.
Terrible, absolutely horrifying. Well, it was during the storm. The last 24 hours wasn't so bad. We were in a safe place. My son had a house, a second story, stayed intact. So that's where we've been for, since the eye of the storm. We've been there. Haven't been in. I'm in the same clothes that I was in the storm. Water was up to my neck. Stayed like that for 2 or 3 hours. So the eye of the storm. We've been through all kinds of hurricanes, all kinds of storms. Never anything like that. I mean, it was like we were standing in the middle of the ocean. That's what it looked like. Waves of water just crashing in over us. Yeah. Horrifying. Absolutely horrifying.
There's two survivors of the storm, the hurricane in the Bahamas, talking about horrendous conditions. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Yesterday, the president continued to insist that he was right when he said earlier in the week that Hurricane Dorian was threatening Alabama.
Few, if any, meteorologists had put Alabama in Dorian's path, but the president's insisting he's been right all along.
I know that Alabama was in the original forecast.
Yesterday, he displayed a days-old map showing Dorian could track over Florida with what appeared to be a hand-drawn circle extending the cone to Alabama. Where did that come from?
I don't know.
He says he'll be presenting a better map with models showing Alabama would be hit.
They actually gave that a 95% chance.
The highest probability for any U.S. area to get hit by Dorian has been in the 60% range. Sagar Magani at the White House.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that story. Also, U.S. employers added a modest 130,000 jobs in August, a sign that hiring in the U.S. has slowed but remains durable in the face of global economic weakness and President Trump's trade war with China. I'm just reading this from the Associated Press. The job gain was boosted by the temporary hiring of 25,000 government workers for the 2020 census. Excluding all government hiring, the national economy added just 96,000 jobs in August. That's the fewest jobs added since May. Still, the Labor Department reported today in its monthly jobs report that the unemployment rate remained at 3.7%, near the lowest level in 5 decades. And more Americans entered the workforce in August, a positive development that increased the proportion of adults who are either working or seeking work to its highest level since February. In addition, average hourly pay rose 3.2% from a year earlier. So that's over the course of 12 months, average hourly pay rose 3.2%. That's outpacing inflation and increasing American workers' spending power. Even with the slower pace of hiring, more jobs and rising pay are expected to help sustain America's economic recovery, which has entered its 11th year, the longest on record. An improving job market can help fuel consumer spending, the primary driver of growth. And for now, Americans are still spending. Consumer spending rose in the April-June quarter by the most in 5 years. It also increased at a healthy clip in July. So, again, we could talk about this. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. Going back to the Bahamas, the AP's Michael Weisenstein was in the Bahamas yesterday, and this is what he saw of the destruction there.
Looking out at a shanty town where there were several thousand Haitian immigrants living, and it's being that they're the poorest people on the island. They lived in a floodplain in shacks hammered together out of plywood, and the 20-foot storm surge just came in and flattened it. The people who are able to are leaving, and the people who aren't are hoping for some sort of evacuation or rescue and just trying to survive until something appears.
So that's Michael Weisenstein, who's a reporter for the Associated Press in the Bahamas right now. Now, DeMarco writes this email. He says, Florida West Coasters and Alabamans, let us give thanks that we were spared from Dorian's wrath and show solidarity with the Bahamians who've been devastated by sending them our unneeded hurricane supplies. So that's DeMarco's email. And again, if you want to help start this conversation, call us at 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Here's a story that has a Tampa connection. Politico is reporting that a former Trump campaign aide who claimed that she was forcibly kissed by Donald Trump during his presidential bid has dropped her lawsuit over the episode. The woman's name is Alva Johnson. She's also dropping another part of her suit that alleged that the Trump campaign underpaid women and minority employees. Johnson's suit grabbed headlines over her assertion that Trump abruptly kissed her as he was getting ready to make a public appearance at a campaign rally in Tampa in August of 2016. However, the prospects for the legal challenge dimmed in July of this year when lawyers for Trump filed with the court and released publicly a video of the encounter between the woman and Trump. Trump's attorneys say the 15-second video captured on cell phone by another man in the recreational vehicle in which Trump was talking with aides and supporters showed an unremarkable, brief, and friendly greeting that hardly resembled the battery Johnson's suit alleges. Trump's lawyers also said the video showed Johnson kissing Trump rather than the other way around. Following the emergence of the video, U.S. District Court Judge William Jung suggested that he might impose sanctions on Johnson's attorneys if they proceed with the aspect of the suit relating to the kiss. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. A female inmate at a North Florida prison is suing the state corrections agency, saying she was left paralyzed after being beaten by four guards. Cheryl Weimer and her husband Carl said in their lawsuit that her civil rights were violated when she was nearly beaten to death by guards at the Lowell Correctional Institution last month. The lawsuit says Weimer was left with a broken neck and is now a paraplegic because of the guards' use of force. The lawsuit says Weimer is being cared for at an Ocala hospital under guard. Her attorney says guards are preventing him from taking photos or video of her injuries, and her husband is seeking an injunction to stop that. Low-cost fashion retailer H&M says it's suspending leather purchases from Brazil to make sure it's not supporting cattle farming that may be contributing to the fires in the Amazon rainforest. The move by the Stockholm-based company follows a similar decision by the makers of Vans and Timberland shoes. Some international investors are also trying to put pressure on the Brazilian government, which has been seen as too lax in its approach to protecting the Amazon rainforest. And a man tapped with developing the Trump administration's long-delayed Middle East peace plan will be leaving the White House soon. We have a report from Sagar Magani.
The White House says the peace plan is done but will not be released until after this month's Israeli elections. There is now more doubt about its future, with the administration saying Jason Greenblatt will leave in the coming weeks. Palestinians have already rejected the plan, saying it boosts ties between the U.S. and Israel. Greenblatt also infuriated Palestinian leaders by pushing for moving the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem and recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's spokesman says Greenblatt ruined American credibility and destroyed the peace process. Sagar Meghani at the White House.
All right, well, let's take some phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Clifford in Tampa. Clifford, you're the first today. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, the other day, I meant to call, but I couldn't get in. Remember back before 9/11 when Dick Cheney made the statement, we need another Pearl Harbor? You think that had anything to do with us going to war in Afghanistan?
Yeah, I don't think that Cheney was behind 9/11 and trumping up a reason for
going to war.
But I do think that presidents, largely all presidents of both parties, think that going to war is a boost to their popularity, because usually what happens is the country rallies around a president during the time of war. It turns out, as we all know today, that in 2002, as President Bush and Dick Cheney were making the case to invade Iraq, it turns out all of their supposed reasons, whether it be weapons of mass destruction or nuclear weapons, everything they told us at the time was wrong. And some newspapers bought into it. Even some of the networks went gung-ho on the war and put on military generals over and over again. But as to whether or not, Cheney, was behind the 9/11 attack, I doubt it. But I do think that it's the wag the dog scenario. Sometimes presidents do want a war because the country tends to rally around them at the end.
During
the war, rather. So.
Another Pearl Harbor. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
All right,
Clifford.
That's something that I thought of because I heard him say that. All right, thanks, Rob.
All right, Clifford, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And if you've got something that you want to bring up, you can bring it up. I'm going to just go back and one of the things that happened in 2006, that Al Gore released his film, An Inconvenient Truth, in which he warned of more powerful hurricanes because of global warming. And I'm just going to, with you, listen back to the trailer to that film to see how prescient Al Gore was way back in 2006. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Here's the trailer to An Inconvenient Truth. Okay, we're gonna get it up in just a second here. Let's see if we can bring it on. And again, if you've got something that you want to comment about, you can email us here in the studio at dj@wmnf.org. Here is the trailer for The Inconvenient Truth.
The 10 hottest years ever measured, they've all occurred in the last 14 years. And the hottest of all was 2005. The scientific consensus is that we are causing global warming. I am Al Gore. I used to be the next president of the United States of America. This is Patagonia, 75 years ago, and the same glacier today. This is Mount Kilimanjaro. 30 years ago, and last year, within the decade, there will be no more snows of Kilimanjaro.
This is really not a political issue so much as a moral issue. Temperature increases are taking place all over the world,
and that's causing stronger storms.
This is the biggest crisis in the history of this country.
Early this morning, Hurricane Katrina slammed into New Orleans.
Is it possible that we should prepare against other threats besides terrorists?
From Paramount Classics comes a film that has shocked audiences everywhere they've seen it.
The Arctic is experiencing faster melting. If this were to go
sea level worldwide would go up 20 feet.
This is what would happen in Florida. Around Shanghai, home to 40 million people. The area around Calcutta, 60 million. Here's Manhattan. The World Trade Center Memorial would be underwater. Think of the impact of a couple hundred thousand refugees, and then imagine 100 million. We have to act together to solve this global crisis. Our ability to live is what is at stake.
All right, well, that's the trailer for Inconvenient Truth. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's listen back to the people who were hit by the Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas. And let's listen again to how they described the destruction that they felt over the last few days.
It's just total devastation. There's nothing left in most of Marsh Harbor. No homes, no banks, no gas stations, no hardware stores. It's just total, everything's gone. People are starting to panic, pillaging, looting, trying to shoot people for food and water. It's just no way everyone's going to get out.
Terrible, absolutely horrifying. It was during the storm. The last 24 hours wasn't so bad. We were in a safe place. My son had a house, a second story, stayed intact. So that's where we've been for, since the eye of the storm. We've been there. Haven't been in. I'm in the same clothes that I was in the storm. Water was up to my neck. Stayed like that for 2 or 3 hours. To the eye of the storm. We've been through all kinds of hurricanes, all kinds of storms. Never anything like that. I mean, it was like we were standing in the middle of the ocean. That's what it looked like. Waves of water just crashing in over us. Horrifying. Absolutely horrifying.
All right, so those are some of the victims of Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas. How far off was Al Gore when he made his film in 2006, the year after Hurricane Katrina destroyed a good portion of New Orleans? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address is dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to Joan, who's in Parrish. Hi, Joan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Sure, thanks for coming on.
I wanted to share with you that if, and this is just basic science, if you have a glass and you put ice in it and you fill it with water to the top to drink and you leave that glass alone, you come back to it later and the ice melts, the cup does not overflow because of the consistency of the ice. So when people are talking about the iceberg rapidly disappearing, and they're really not, but people who are so afraid about global warming and icebergs going to melt and create new coastline chart lines, it's just not true. So I invite everyone to take a glass and do that and see how that works. Another thing I'm going to
Well, Joan, could I just stop you right there? You know, the Greenland and the Arctic ice cap, the Antarctic ice cap, rather, they're above the water. So they're not in the water. So when you say that you have ice floating in water, well, that may be true, but when you have ice above water, like glaciers, and that water is pouring into the oceans, you're talking about two different things.
Well, it's floating still, and parts of it are frozen.
I'm sorry, it's what still?
Part of it is frozen and it's floating. So the consistency of the mass of it being floating, of being hard and solid, weighs different and is different in
it. No, but Joan, first of all, Greenland is above the waterline. Do you understand that? Mount Kilimanjaro is above the waterline. The glaciers in Africa, in Alaska rather, are above the waterline. Antarctic is above the waterline. So we're not talking about ice that's already in the water. We're talking about ice that's above the water. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I understand what you're saying, but when you talk about a small fraction of a tiny decimal of a climate change, Al Gore is out there giving speeches for hundreds of thousands of dollars for 30, 45 minutes. If he really cared, he'd be planting trees everywhere for the greenhouse effect to address.
Well, I assume that he's planting trees. Now, do you know something to the contrary? Are you saying that you don't think that he's adding to the plant life of the planet? You're saying that he's not doing anything to, even though he's doing these films and doing these speeches, you've got proof that he's not trying to reduce carbon dioxide emissions? What's your proof?
Yeah, my proof is he would have a foundation and he would have campaigns. And the Democratic Party would jump on that, and everybody would say, oh, people are planting trees because it's such a hot topic. The Democrat Party would certainly raise that awareness.
All right. Well, Joan, you know what? I don't think you've looked this up. I'm going to look it up, and let's hope our listeners look it up. Let's find out. Here's the question. And, Joan, it's a good question. I don't think you have the answer, though. And let me ask our listeners who are next to their computers, because I'm trying to do a radio show, and it's hard for me to do the kind of research I need to do. Is Al Gore using any of the money that he has to try to find ways to reduce global warming? And if our listeners could do that for me, it would be a great help. And if you can prove that he's not spending his money, if you can prove the opposite too, send me a link. And here's where to send the link. Send it to dj@wmnf.org. And Joan, thanks a lot for your phone call. Thanks. That's a very provocative a line of thinking. Let's go to Richard in Tampa. Richard, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'd like to give a little input while you're talking about what happened down there in the Bahamas and the magnitude of the catastrophe that happened to do with these hurricanes that are coming. Some people are trying to blame them on global warming. And, you know, a lot of people say it's just more of a cyclic natural phenomenon. But the people on this earth are in for a long haul here. I mean, if global warming has been, you know, unstabled by man or the continual, you know, problems to do with the carbon in the air and everything, that the problems all over the world, I mean, it's a global problem. It's a global issue. So, I mean, if the whole world isn't contributing to try to change things, then us as individuals in our country are just going to sort of have to, you know, fight it out by ourselves and try to come up with ways to, you know, help prevent people from dying in these storms. And that's, you know, it's sort of like war. It's sort of like anything else. You have to protect yourself. You know, things are violent and, you know, you have to protect your life. But, you know, are there ways of doing it? Those people are down there in the Bahamas are a perfect example of what just happened.
Yep, it's really true. All right. Well, Richard, thanks a lot. Thanks for your thoughts. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Now, this isn't the last word on it. In 2013, Al Gore became a vegan, okay? He's also started two nonprofit organizations, the Alliance for Climate Protection and the Climate Project. And they were joined together in 2011 into the Climate Reality Project. And so if you could do some research for me, if you're near your computer, tell me whether or not Al Gore is doing anything to protect the environment. Joan said that she thought that he wasn't, that he was just making speeches. And Joan, I hope you keep listening. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Palmetto. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. You were exactly right. The young lady who called knows, it's one of those examples that someone knows enough just to get them in trouble. I flew the same flight that Al Gore did only in 1988 and up to Iceland and then to Greenland and up actually to the Arctic Circle. I used to do USO show. And a good part, more than two-thirds of Greenland, is over 10,000 feet tall. It never snows at the Arctic Circle. It's just always blowing snow up to it. All the wind up there, like in Thule, Greenland, the wind is constant at 50 and 60 miles an hour. And that's up close to the Arctic Circle. But so the way the winds blow, it's constantly loading up. And yes, it's sort of like a basketball. No matter how big is much of it's underneath the water, if you have a little kiddie pool and you push that basketball down, And that's what Greenland would do if it melted. And all along, since the get-go, the complaint is that if Greenland melts, and it is, because on the trip, I got to spend some time in the co-pilot seat. And when I was looking out, and we flew at 8,000 feet, this exact same flight that Al Gore took, and it was almost all frozen. And when I saw it, when I have a copy of his ship movie, when I saw that, I freaked. I couldn't believe, because a good part of the whole flight was all ice, all up in the, in the, as we're going, getting near the Ark and above St. Andrews in Newfoundland. And none of it, in his movie, it was crazy. It was just all melted. So, I'm sorry, but the woman is, that argument's been made before, and it just, now real quick, I'll tell you, yes, the federal government is in charge of Lake Okeechobee. People forget that the Seminole War, the Lake Okeechobee War on your show the other day, Lake Okeechobee, because I used to work on Lake Okeechobee on the levee. It's run by the state, but the people who make the decisions is the Army Corps of Engineers. Because I know that never got, I tried to get into the lines the other day. But if Greenland melts, we're all in trouble.
All right. John, thanks a lot. Thank you.
All right.
Good to hear from you. Here's an email from 239. This person is anonymous, and they say, please remind Joan that as the planet warms, so does the water in the oceans. And as water warms, it expands. That is making sea levels rise even more. Writes 239. And our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Kevin in Bradenton. Kevin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Rob. I'm not going to be able to help decide whether Al Gore's, actually doing enough to try to save the planet. But I can tell you one person who's not protecting the environment, and I do hope Joan's still listening. One of the things, that Trump always says is that, other countries are to blame for global warming, China, India, and all these things. And certainly they do share some of the blame. But when you listen to what Al Gore said back in that trailer, he said that we must act together to solve the crisis. And that, I think, is a key element of what Trump isn't doing, by withdrawing from the Paris Climate Agreement and things of that nature. And then, like I said, when he just talks about blaming other countries and it makes it sound like, we're doing so great, when actually we are the leader of the world. And if we could lead on this issue, there's a possibility that it could help other countries, by installing some technologies and things like that. I just can't believe that people are still, wondering about this issue. I don't know how much bad science has been out there for how long to try to, convince people that it's not a man-made problem. But anyway, that's my take on that. But I've got one more thing for you. On a lighter note, I wanted to mention that Pence staying at the hotel in Ireland, that to me, and the way he insulted the Irish people, and him being, the holy one who's the bigot of Indiana, I think that was appalling. I don't know if anybody's followed that, but one of the best comments I heard was I read in The Guardian, not my words, that's coming from some of the people that met Mike Pence over there. I don't know if you followed that one.
Well, that was the headline, I think, in one of the newspapers over there. And I think they used, they probably didn't print the whole word, but I've heard that before. All right. So,
thank you,
Kevin. Thank you. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Tim writes this, your first caller, she's missing the fact that water expands as it warms. Just another victim of fake science and right-wing propaganda. These poor, fearful, ignorant, gullible people, too bad they vote, writes Tim. And then Keith in Tampa says, Joan basically parroted the same garbage that Rush and Fox News have been saying for years. to avoid denting the profits of the fossil fuel industry, writes Keith. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's see if I can pull this up. 813-239-9663. Here's an email that comes from Nick, and he sends a link to a Daily Telegraph story. And I'll just read the headline, the first sentence. Al Gore is profiting from climate change agenda. And the article starts by saying that Al Gore has been accused of profiting from the climate change agenda amid claims he's on course to become the world's first carbon billionaire. And that you can see that November 2009 in the Daily Telegraph. So the Telegraph being a conservative newspaper, taking a shot at Al Gore, and that article is online. Nick, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Rick writes this, to the caller with the glass of water analogy, most of the ice is on land, not floating. The mayor of Miami disputed Rick Scott's directive not to use climate change or sea level rise in official documents. He asked why he's had to buy more and more pumps to keep the Atlantic Ocean out of Miami's streets if sea level rise is not happening. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Bruce in St. Petersburg. Bruce, thank you for calling in. What would you like to say?
Yes, Rob. I disagree with that. I agree with that guy before. My dad was stationed in Greenland during World War II in a weather station, and their whole base was on ground. I take it she voted for Trump or something, because Trump was not trying to buy Greenland as an ice cube. He was trying to buy the land underneath it. So all of that ice is sitting on land, and when it melts, it's going to raise the water level.
Her analogy of ice and water just didn't hold up.
Trump's not trying to buy an ice cube.
Yeah, right.
He's trying to buy land and resources.
He's not buying icebergs or anything, yeah.
Yeah, so...
All right, Bruce.
All I have to say.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. And Sarah writes this, making movies, speeches, books to educate the public, that's doing a great deal to fight global warming, writes Sarah. And she goes on to say, education seems to be wasted on Joan, apparently. Well, we've got two open lines, so you'll be able to get through right away. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. And Patty Perkey and Frank Knox are behind the scenes making this show work. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Donald Trump's refusal to admit that he made a mistake in calling Alabama, the famous Alabama quote, and then doubling down on it, proves that he will never, ever, 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 ever admit to ever make a mistake, being wrong. It's okay to make a mistake, but not with him. That's a Roy Cohn approach that he was taught. Always double down and go, and even if you have to lie, which he does all the time. So it's just really, and then to sit there and say that when he was asked, you know, somebody took a Sharpie to that, and he goes, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And he turned around and goes, I don't know. And that, and on D-Lemon last night, they were already saying that they've already had, somebody already has already fessed up that it was him, like Colbert said. It was him. He's the one who did it. And so, therefore, and then to go after the actress Deborah Messing and Eric McCormick, you know, it goes to show that he's always been doing this all the time. He's had it out with Cher, Meryl Streep throughout the years, Rosie O'Donnell, of course. The man is an insecure, thin-skinned man who really, truly is a laughingstock all over the world. To sit there and not even sit there and say, all he had to say was, you know, I thought it was going to be Alabama, and I made a mistake. But no, he can't do that. He wants to sit there, and even though everybody knows, most people with a normal brain know that he did say that the Alabama was in jeopardy. You have a great weekend.
All right, Danny. Thanks a lot. You wonder why the president is standing by that. Let's go to Zachary in St. Petersburg. Zachary, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. I just want to make a quick comment about that lady with the ice cube analogy. It's just apparent to me that people like that existing need a kind of a lesson in, you know, climatology, volcanology, geology, and geography. And we're apparently lacking that in this country, that not only we should teach that to the kids, but anyone who doesn't know about that should learn a little thing or two about it. And I just think people who come with these facts need to check where they're coming from, because it's nonsense, not science.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
813-239-9663. Now, Gail asks me to refute an article that she sent me, and I'll just read the headline. And that's the building of Gore's widely accepted climate fraud. And it's an article by Dr. Jay Lair and Tom Harris on CFACT. And I'm looking at, I think Jay Lair was a guest on one of our shows when I was fired. And I was trying to find out what his background was. And I looked all over, and I couldn't find his degree or why he would be an expert on climate change. I think he might be an expert on water hydrology. But as for climate, I couldn't find any of his degrees in climate science. So, Gail, what I would say is that Mr. Lehr, and that's spelled L-E-H-R, doesn't have any sort of degree in climate science. And I think that if you looked at what Al Gore was saying, is that he was quoting climate scientists in both of his films, Inconvenient Truth and his film that came out 2 years ago. Let's go back, and we're going to go to DeAndre in Riverview. DeAndre, thanks for hanging in there. What would you like to say?
Just because we have so many people commenting, and I appreciate that, because I have a serious question. Like, I feel like carbon is a big deal. Like, it is obviously a problem in combat with global warming. But I was wondering, are there any other factors that play into it, the warming of waters through, like, places like Tico coal fire or natural gas fire plants that warm up waters and send it off into, you know, their waterways along whatever water bodies they might be next to?
Yeah, I think, DeAndre, the answer to that is that even though the Tico plant's a big plant, and even though a power plant is a big operation, and, you know, whether it's a nuclear power or coal-fired power, it does warm up water. The amount of water that it sends into the waterways is so tiny compared to the amount of heat that's being blocked by carbon dioxide. So,
well, there is that, and then the damming of waters. I was watching something, and it's been on my mind for like years. Since I was in like middle school, but the Colorado used to flow all the way out to the Cortez, and it's since been stopped. It's like 100, like its trickle is 100 miles away from the Cortez, off somewhere in Mexico. And I was thinking, like, if that's happening a lot, you hear about it in the Middle East, it's causing, you know, fights over there between different groups. It's happening here. I think, you know, people are definitely suffering in Mexico because they're no longer getting, that 20-foot high surge of water from the Colorado River. Is that also something that might be affecting the environment overall?
Yeah, I think it does affect the environment, especially downriver where you know, cattle farms and ranches and other kinds are sucking up the water. I think it affects the environment that way. But in the scheme of things, in terms of fresh water getting into the Sea of Cortez, yeah, it's a big deal, but I don't think it's contributing to global warming, although I don't know. I kind of doubt it, because in the scheme of things, it's rather a small amount of fresh water when you look at the global overall.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. All right,
cool.
DeAndre. I think there are scientists that we could ask that question of, but I think the major cause of global warming is the release of carbon dioxide into the environment. It gets up into the atmosphere, and other greenhouse gases get into the atmosphere, and they trap heat on the Earth. The heat comes through, it's trapped, raises the global temperature, seas hold a lot of that heat, and as seas warm, everything begins to go downward, downward in the sense that we get a poor climate, we get worse weather. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Let's go to Richard in St. Petersburg. Richard, thank you for calling in. What would you like to say?
Well, first and foremost, regarding the woman who called in, I'd like to thank you once again for encouraging her to do her homework, do the research about Mr. Laird, I mean, whatever his qualification. I have an opinion about climate change. However, I'm not qualified to speak about it scientifically. But regarding when you have all these countries around the world, and even the city of Carbon Springs, the paper today, is looking how to address this. The poster child for addressing sea level is the Netherlands. But here we have an administration that's sitting on their hands with their thumbs up raised, going like, oh, it's not happening. So the question is, how do we go ahead and get them to recognize it as a public? And I'm going to hang up and see what other people think about that.
All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Richard. 813-239-9663. Joe writes this. Your lady caller needs to take a physics course. Ice is compacted water. When it is heated, it expands, period. No questions. That's a scientific fact, writes Joe. All right. Well, it looks like we've got all... Let's see if we can get some women on the air. Let's go to Fran in Largo. Fran, you're on. What would you like to say?
Oh, thank you, Rob. Boy, I just called again. Again, I'm on right away. Thank you.
We put you right at the top of the line, Fran.
Great. Couldn't ask for anything better. Yeah, I just want to make a comment. Didn't the Vatican and the Pope come out saying that they thought climate change was like the biggest threat to humanity? Did I hear that right?
I would have to look that up. I know this Pope has spoken out about climate change. I don't know where he put it in terms of the threat to humanity.
I think since what happened to the Bahamas, maybe they came out with something like that from the Vatican. I think they've spoken about that before. I'm Catholic. I'm a fallen away Catholic, but I was raised, went to Catholic school and everything, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. What amazes me, though, about the Catholic churches, they may say something about climate change and things like that, and yet their stance on birth control, and I'm not even going to bring up abortion, but just birth control, that's part of the biggest part of the problem, in my opinion. Why will they ever say anything like finally say, yes, we encourage smaller families, people please be more responsible about having children? They don't encourage this at all, like a lot of the third world countries. But you know, they're Catholic countries and they keep having children and keep suffering. It's just I'm not trying to say that it's you know, just third world countries, but it's just terrible. They say one thing and yet they don't follow up with something that would make sense. You know what I mean?
Well, I think having smaller families would have a lower impact on the earth. I think that's true.
Oh, all right. It sure would. And one more thing about the Catholic Church in Tennessee, wasn't it? They and this is ridiculous. They banned Harry Potter books in the Catholic schools there in the Archdiocese of Tennessee or something.
Yeah,
like that.
The story was, and I did the story earlier this week when it came out, that a priest who supervises one school in Nashville, a Catholic priest, said that he wanted to ban all Harry Potter books from that school's library because the Harry Potter books contain real incantations and real words that would lead to somebody being able to put a spell on somebody.
Yeah,
and so he said that this could be dangerous. And and so anyway, you know, I think I did several road trips with my kids listening to all the first three or four Harry Potter books. And we were unable to do anything magical on those trips.
It's so silly. It's like witchcraft, back to the Salem witch hunts. But what I wanted to say about it was being raised Catholic, anytime anything was banned or looked, you know, condemned or anything like that, boy, I wanted to see what it was all about.
Yeah, it was like the list of films that they wanted banned. Those are the good films.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Fran.
Kids, they're probably going after the Harry Potter books now.
All right, thanks, Fred. I don't think every Catholic school in Nashville has banned the Harry Potter books. I think this is just one school. Ramil writes this, the Climate Reality Project was founded by Vice President Gore in 2005. It's a nonprofit organization devoted to solving the climate crisis. And you can find out more by just looking up Climate Reality Project, writes Ramil. Ramil, thank you for that. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. Jeff writes this, let me get this straight. It's a bad thing to make money to save the planet, but it's a good thing for an oil company to make money to destroy the planet. Not sure that makes sense, writes Jeffrey. Jeffrey, thank you. Fran just asked about the Pope. As I try to do these shows, I also try to do a little bit of research. This is not the last word on it, but I'll just read this about the Pope, and this is not the most recent article. But from June of this year, the BBC reported that the Pope warns oil bosses of climate threat. And I'll read the first two lines. The Pope has told oil company bosses that climate change threatens the future of the human family. The oil executives had been invited to the Vatican in Rome for an audience with the pontiff. So there you go. Pope Francis says that climate change threatens the future of the human family. I don't know if as Fran said, it's the Pope's number one issue, but he certainly stood up to the oil company executives when they came to visit him. How about that? 813-239-9663. Let's go to, let's see who's been holding the longest. Terry in Bradenton's been holding the longest. Terry, you're on. What would you like to say?
Oh, okay. Hi. Am I on the air?
You are live on the air.
Excellent. Okay. I just wanted to comment that the people like to jump on Trump and say that anything bad about him gets repeated. He's correct on the Alabama situation, and you can verify it by going to the National Weather Service, looking at Dorian Advisory number 21, and look for the earliest arrival time for storm force winds, and you'll see that the cone projects over the entire southeastern part of Alabama.
And Terry, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The president put this map up on Wednesday.
Yeah.
When did the Advisory 21 come out?
I'm not at a computer right now.
All right. Now that would be key. Like if the president was putting up Advisory 21 on the day it came out, I think that you're right. But if the president was using an old advisory on Wednesday when he put up this phony map, then he was putting up out of date information. And I think that's why people think there's a problem. We don't want a president who's in charge of protecting all of our safety putting up out-of-date information. Would you agree?
Oh, I would agree with that, and I agree that the map that was presented was just kind of inked in. Whoever inked it in, who knows? But the ink in was representative of what was going on with Advisory 21.
Right, but it wasn't current on Wednesday. Terry, I'll bet you $5, and I'll pay it off to you, that when the president held up that map on Wednesday, it wasn't current. Alabama was not threatened on Wednesday.
I will mention that the...
Now, Terry, what do you say about that? I mean, if you're saying the president was correct, the president held up a map that wasn't correct on Wednesday, doesn't he have an obligation to the American public to hold up a correct map, or does he get a pass from you?
Oh, No, he doesn't get a pass necessarily on that. And if, in fact, I'm unfortunately not at my computer right now, so I don't know the date that he actually said whatever he said. I did see the image of the map and the fact that it was inked in, and I think that was, you know, if he's going to be presenting the map, he should be presenting.
You got to admit that was Bush League. That was really, that's grade school level intelligence.
And
you can't trust somebody that uses that level of intelligence. If the president says we're going to go to war, if he's made this flub on Wednesday, do you trust him to go to war next week?
Well, the National Guard also was preparing for the storm to arrive in Alabama, so it wasn't just the president.
Yeah, but why would he use? You're not getting my point. I'm saying the president was using out of date information. Why would he use out-of-date information? On Wednesday, Alabama was not in the cone. Yet he held up, he was talking about Alabama on Wednesday. It was irrelevant to Alabama. The places that were in danger on Wednesday were Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. Anyway, Terry, I don't think we're going to agree, but thank you for calling.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right, thank you. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Nancy in St. Petersburg. Hi, Nancy, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, yeah, okay. You know, we talk about a lot of stuff on this call-in show, and about the environment, I think it's, you know, we're in the United States where we like to think of we're all independent and have all this freedom and everything, but guess what? We don't have the freedom to ruin the planet. And maybe it should come down to some kind of an international council that will say how much industry can use on stuff, and just they're going to have to go with it, or they're going to, you know, the boom has to come down. I know that sounds really a wide sweeping brush, but it might have to come to that. No more can we just be progress, because it's not progress anymore. And I'm just, you know.
Yeah, and Terry, you can have progress. You can have progress and save the planet at the same time. It's possible to have a car that gets you, you know, tremendous gas mileage.
Yeah.
And that's progress. You can get a new car, even, you know, there's a lot of new cars that are now, you know, even old-fashioned technology are getting 40 miles to the gallon. That's a great step forward.
But that's
progress. But progress does not have to be polluting the planet. Progress can be saving the planet.
I agree. I agree with all of that. And have since Earth Day 1970. You know, that's when we all became aware that there was going to be a big problem just about now. And here it is, folks.
Yeah.
And nothing has changed as far as the people with the money and the clout go, as far as how their practices have gone. It's all being rolled back now, even worse.
Nancy, I would say that our air is cleaner. I can remember the air because I used to hitchhike a lot in 1970, and our air is cleaner than it was in 1970.
Okay, yeah. I've always lived on coast.
Okay. All right, Nancy. I think there is some reason to be optimistic. I mean, I think if people that care about humanity and care about the planet push back, I think there is reason to be optimistic. Sean writes this. He's in the newsroom. Sean Canan says Advisory 20. This is Hurricane Advisory 20, which also shows Alabama in the cone of the most likely arrival time of tropical storm force winds, came out Friday at 5 p.m. So the president, in talking about Alabama all this week, including Wednesday with that map, was using information from last Friday. And I make the case that I think the president should be giving us up-to-date information about the path of the hurricane and not using old information. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Rick in Parrish. Rick, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Good morning. How are you?
Good.
I just want to say something real quick. You're running out of time. In sixth grade, and me and you are probably close to the same age. I'm going to say that sixth grade was prior to 1970. My teacher, I guess it's okay to say his name is Mr. Tramontano. He told us about climate change, and why I think that's significant is that that's well before politics. It was just science. Carbon traps heat. Methane traps heat. I think it's about 80 times more efficient than carbon, but it dissipates quicker in the environment. I don't mind getting fact-checked on that. So it's just science. How it got to be a political issue, I'll never understand. Just a couple of quick things. He's talking about opening up the Tungus National Forest, which is a temperate rainforest in Alaska. We also have the burning of the Amazon. Forests, of course, sequester carbon, so then therefore we're putting more carbon into the environment. And I don't know if you've talked about that, reducing the forests and how that's going to impact climate change.
Yeah, you know, I did a major interview just about 3 weeks ago with a scientist in Switzerland who said that the solution to global warming is to plant more trees. His idea is to plant a trillion trees, and he doesn't want us cutting down trees. So he would agree with you, and that interview is online. Rick, thanks a lot. We're out of time. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And I'll play your comments back Monday morning at 11 o'clock. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Frank Knox and Patty Perkey are working behind the scenes in our phone room, and thank you to both of them. This is WMNF in Tampa. Janelle is taking the day off, so in the next hour, we're going to hear the Tom